next meeting, October 24th, 2019.
I'm going to call to order the October 24th, 2019 Benton City Commission meeting. I'll rise for the flag salute, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. As you can see, the mayor's not here tonight, so I'll be running the meeting. She's not feeling quite well, so we wish her good health. Ready for Halloween. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Here.
Commissioner Landgraf?
Here.
Mayor Holtzman. Let the record reflect Mayor Holtzman is absent.
Pursuant to the Open Public Meetings Act, adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the law. First item on our workshop agenda is the presentation by Nick Tavakia, Inventor Plaza Redevelopment Plan. Mr. Tavakia?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us tonight. With me is Ralph Julian, who is with Lamar, the owner, and his intern, Kevin.
Always good to have an intern.
Yes. All the way from Minnesota.
Wow.
Anyway, first of all, I want to thank everybody at the city. We've been working with this for a couple of years now. Everybody knows the retail environment. Retail malls in general are not doing well. Go to Voorhees Mall today, it's literally half empty. Half empty. Go to Hamilton Mall, not doing well. Go to Shore Mall. The market has changed dramatically, primarily through Amazon and internet sales. But we have a unique situation here on any Barrett Island in that when you do a circle, the companies do a circle where they're looking to put their business. They want to see what the population is. Half of the circle's in the ocean.
Right.
That's a true story. It's not a coincidence that in my lifetime, since the 60s to now, the movie theaters, the stores have all shifted from the islands to the mainland. But not just here, it's in Long Beach Islands throughout. So that's the reality we face. This shopping center was thriving at one time, the movie theater. It's not thriving anymore. 45% of this current shopping center is vacant. So Ralph's company, though, is, you know, they're innovative. They own a lot of shopping centers, a lot of real estate. They're smart guys and women. And they're searching for ways. So one of the current trends in shopping centers is self-storage. Doing it in the Voorhees Mall right now, they're looking to do that. They're doing it all over the country. It's an adaptive reuse in an existing shopping center. The space is there, it's to be made. So that's what we've been working on, Ralph's working for 2 years. And a lot of problems, the ground is too low, we have to raise that for self-storage, a lot of issues like that. But we think we've got to a spot where we're in a good, if you're darker, in a good spot. So we approached the city, it's almost been 2 years now, maybe over 2 years, and we thought maybe we want to be more creative. Well, while today we only have one prospective tenant, we are talking to others, including some nationals. And we hope to be back to you soon to tell you about that. But for right now, we talked to the city, we said, Commissioner Landgraf, we talked to Jim Rattal, we said, let's do a redevelopment plan that will give flexibility. But we can go to prospective tenants, say, look, here what's permitted, here are the standards, you know what they are, you know what the cost will be, and try to be creative. So that's what this plan tries to do. It expands the uses, looks at the realistic parking requirements, requires upgrades over time as we do phases of landscaping, exteriors, efficiency, circulation, all those things. That's what this plan does. This plan has phase one, which is just really related to the self-storage. It's going to be about 65,000 square feet. Give an idea, a whole mall is about 200,000 square feet around, roughly, and 45% is vacant. So this 65,000 will take up a big chunk of what's vacant. But we are talking to some other nationals to try to get them in here. So the plan, we went back and forth. We think we've got a plan that we think protects the interests of Ventnor, and your guys are very concerned about making sure that, you know, this, we meet the current standards for good site plan design that they can do. And they'll be implemented over time as we go into phases. The plan has four or five different phases, different components, and, you know, potentially adding a street what's the street part that's not built down on the closer to the Little Rock, you know, enhancing circulation.
The one that's between Dollar General and your site.
Or on the other side.
The other side.
It's not contemplating one, but it contemplates that. It contemplates changes to enhance and make the site more functional as we get tenants. So again, for right now, the plan has a phase one that's shown, we go through the existing core plans. Then it contemplates concepts for phases two and four, but they're not really conceptualized. We would have to come back to the planning board for a detailed site plan review for all of this, including phase one. So phase one, that's the existing, I believe, plan. If you look to the next one, I think you should have copies of this too.
Yes.
And these are mostly attached to the plan. So you stop at that one, that shows, or can we go back to the reconfiguration? The reconfiguration, correct. And those red boxes just are notes. The advanced general stays there. The advanced auto, I'm sorry, the corner, the white box.
Right.
And the dollar store moves over one, moves closer
to here.
Right, we flip it. The reason for that is it makes the space for the self-storage more contiguous instead of having a U shape. And then we do have
self-storage below there.
And
if you remember, recall, it has access along that one side. Yeah. With loading access would be over there. The back corner.
And Lisa, if you flip a couple, I'd just like to jump now to the elevation of the front to get an idea of what we're talking about. Let's take another one or two slides. One more after that. And one more after that, sorry. I lied.
Keep going.
Yeah, sorry.
Looks like part, A2 there.
A2. So the auto stores to the right, outlined in white. No change there, anything that.
Dollar stores here, then you split over so we can have a consolidated area for the storage.
So that area will be, repainted, refreshened up. It'll look new. It'll look good. That's phase one. That's all really proposed for phase one. The thing is, we get a tenant to bring in, help stabilize the shopping center, make sure it's healthy. Believe me, Rob is talking every day to prospective tenants, every day, nationals. It's not an easy sell, and it's not because Bentner's a bad place. Bentner's a great place, but we don't have what they call density of population. We don't have a ton of people right here. We like that in some sense. We like the fact that we're not overly crowded, but it's also a detriment when you try to get national tenants. But I'm confident there's going to be progress in that front, and probably pretty soon. But we do have this pretty well locked in now.
I think we do.
Yeah. If you want to just get up and tell me you're on,
sure.
And Ralph, just for informational purposes, your position.
Yeah, no problem.
So Ralph Pagliano, I'm an asset manager and a principal at Lamar Companies. And good evening, and nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for coming out, Ralph. Good to see you again.
Yeah, and appreciate everybody here. Nick's pretty much stole the thunder of exactly what we're trying to do here.
It's fantastic.
He's paying the bill.
Yeah, exactly. it's no surprise to anybody that retail needs to be repurposed, what's happening in the world. So Bentner is a very large center. This is a very big center. Trying to find tenants of this size today, everybody's downsizing. We're reading it each day, Bed Bath & Beyond's next. They have 30,000 square foot footprints. They want to go down to 10,000. So there's 20,000 feet that'll come back. And we start seeing this all throughout the nation, that's happening. So self-storage, and we've done the numbers that basically quantify, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a populated area. It just has to be a need for the area. So they'll look at the supply, or we look at the supply, and you look at what the demand might be. And here in Bentner, there's a lot of transient that's happening in the summertime, right? We have people coming from Philly to North Jersey or something coming in. So this is a use that we think, and all our numbers tell us, is a very good use that we think will support the area. People would look for it, and people that visit the area would be supported by it. We certainly, as Nick was saying, we're certainly talking to other retailers. We have a couple that I hope to come in the next couple of months. There's Wawa that's interested. I think I might have mentioned to you guys before. They would be a pad position. on there, which I think is a great thing to have and a very nice use, especially the buildings that these guys, that they build today. But we're, you know, we have some really good interest from Five Guy Burgers, Ice Cream, Carvel. I mean, we're getting nice interest and we're still following up with them like we've been doing for years. But I think a change or something filling the spaces helps bring some of these supporting smaller tenants in. And that's the goal. You know, that's the goal, to try and fill these large vacancies first. So that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah. So we although it's not part of phase one, once we went back to those other sheets, we showed potential, and Mark, you may need to elaborate, we showed the pad site. If you do a pad site, we talk about some roadway improvements. If you go back another 1 or 2 weeks, please. You can show this one, for example. This has the two end pad sites, but there's another one that has a, coincidentally, a convenience store gasoline pad site. If you go to the one behind that, Lisa, before that one, or two before that. Yeah, this one has, you know, and this one has a pad site. Art, you want to talk about it?
Yeah. The entryways that you mentioned are not, I won't get a few moments late. On the left side, Little Rock Extension. It lays out beautifully. The traffic signal is in that location. On the right side, there's an unnamed 100-foot wide right-of-way, which separates the subject property from the adjoining, you mentioned the Dollar General facility. Kind of drive in that, go in that driveway. It's a big no man's land.
Right.
It's actually a 100-foot wide right-of-way owned by the government, the governing body, the city of Bend. So the idea would be to improve that. That could be a shared driveway. It's a wonderful location, the way it's positioned. So we can have a driveway left, driveway right, the main driveway that exists today in the center. So it would improve the access so much better in the end result for the center. So this particular plan, of course, shows what Nick mentioned in phase one, it's called, shows an idea to capture an area here, which is pretty much a dead area. The driveway happens to be here, this location, and no one uses that area. It's really, it's unsightly and it's a dead area. So the idea is, by moving the driveway over, it opens this area up for development. Hopefully, Ralph's company can bring a pad site into that location, which is what we're showing as a placeholder for that. Likewise, on the right-hand side of this particular exhibit, this would be the convenience store, while was mentioned by Ralph a moment ago. It's an idea that the convenience store could fit there, the gas station could fit right there, as ancillary to the convenience store, typical to a Wawa or other users such as that. One other use that shows on this exhibit would be the possibility of a car wash, automated car wash, drive-through. None in the area, I mean, it's something that would be the main possibility Ralph and his company can attract that type of user. We wanted to see would it fit and where would it make sense. We think it's a good location here, especially with the driveway. You have a lot of stacking ability there, right through the tunnel, exit right into the driveway. Perfect location for it. Out of the way, doesn't impact any of the other development. What was the next one you wanted to look at?
I think that the overall sense is that we have a phase one that's realistic. These other phases, we hope they happen. We don't know if they're going to happen. We hope they happen. But we designed a plan that we can show a prospective tenant. This is how it works. This is how the circulation works. This is how the city has already adopted the plan. So if we need to put that row in, they already, you know, it's in the plan. We obviously have to go through a site plan and planning board and all that, but it shows that the city has developed a comprehensive, detailed plan for this location. And that's important because every developer I know wants to make sure the government's on board. Right? They have a friendly government, want to work with them. And I think this shows that Bentner is business friendly. But it's a good plan because it does enhance overall the shopping center over time. So we think this will help encourage development. No promises, no guarantees, but it's a step. And they put the resources to get this done. And that's where we are. So we hopefully will answer any questions. But hopefully, drop us a first reading Monday. We'll be at the planning board for master plan consistency review. And that goes well. Second reading, hopefully, November 14th, pardon me. And we'll be here for that too. So that's all I have.
So I've been with Jim Rutella and working with Nick and these guys and Ralph trying to get this together, and Art's been great. We've been picking apart the plan that he's been sending to us. So we had a committee of the planning board, Jay Cook, Tom McAdam and Roman Zabihatz came on board and have already worked a little bit with this. So they've seen it. What this does, it creates an opportunity. It creates an opportunity for these things to happen on that site. As Nick said, this is not a guarantee. This isn't these national tenants coming in right away. No. Phase one, I think we're pretty sure that's going to happen. That's a solid. And that's, there's nothing on the island. There's no self-storage on the island.
Commissioner, what delayed phase one is a flooding issue.
Right.
The floor, by the way, wasn't strong enough.
And to raise it up.
Had to get it up because you can't do self-storage with water.
So that is a dilemma.
That's a resolve, that issue.
And I think it's a missing component in the area as well. There's nothing up until you draw a floor for self-storage or crawl.
And this opens it up to a lot of different uses. I mean, I think you called the other day, or not the other day, because it's about to open, the dental place.
Right.
That was already a permitted use, but we've opened it up to a bunch of different things. So this will allow...
Yes.
Yeah, they're doing the fit out. I was over there the other morning. So this is something the planning board will look at. It's on our agenda for Monday night. Commissioner Krieger will be there for his first meeting, so it's nice.
And Lamar is like a real estate company. They own a lot of real estate. They know what they're doing. So,
thank you.
I mean, this is not a one-off property for them. They're a significant company, and they know who to talk to try to bring them their tenants. So it's fortunate that Ventnor has such a good property owner here in town, I think.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Lamar, we reached out when the food truck near the place, and he stepped up and helped us out. That was something that I was involved in. I appreciate that. It was a good
pleasure.
Yeah, and just my brief comments, I furnished my college apartment at Bradley's. It used to be Cambridge Lobby.
I'm not Bradley's.
And I'm thinking as you're talking that there's no need for Bradley's.
And
not only literally, but figuratively, there's that kind of a place doesn't exist anymore. I always thought that this site was underutilized. I always, in my mind, I pictured a something like Congo Falls or a pirate ship mini golf out there, doing what you're trying to do, which is create opportunities for the fill in that, or something like that. I think the convenience store with a gas station would be a home run. That would be a great use for that site. And these others play. And I have one comment and one question. When the self-service, you're envisioning or the self-storage, it doesn't show the facade. The larger unit filled in any way, that still kind of seems like it's vacant in a way. I don't know if that was ever contemplated to have signage on that. You're taking up such a large portion of that.
Oh, we can go back to that elevation.
You have the elevation.
Yeah.
They have some signage and things where the entrance is. There's nothing really on those other panels.
It almost looks like.
At least I think
it's
right. Yeah, I'm not second guessing your design work. I'm just saying if there was some way to tie that in together, it looks. So even though that's contemplated as large storage, it still reads to the untrained, the unknowing eye that that large portion is vacant because it doesn't have a marquee. In my opinion,
I was not. Yeah.
But again, I'm not
additional signage.
Yeah, we have.
There will be additional signage.
Good. That'll make it look occupied.
100%.
Yeah, that's why I'm like,
God, that's the look.
If you want more signage, we'll give you more signage. That's not normally what counts from in the municipality side. Add more signage.
Right.
Well, we want it to look occupied.
Yeah.
That's a goal here. And also, as part of this redevelopment plan, it opens up the opportunity for some pilot aspects of this whole thing, paying a little taxes. So
right.
That helps them reduce their costs so they can bring in more people at a lower rent if need be initially. So that's something that
and it helps us.
It does. So that is...
My only other question was, what are the triggers for phasing, landscaping, and lighting that's shown here? Is that something that...
So, phase one has, we show this part of the sheets, the landscaping out towards the front. We
right.
Some, not doing all of it, but there's going to be some new landscaping out in the front.
Right.
And really, that's all the improvements for phase one because, we need the new tenants with the new dollars to really take...
I understand.
So we get to the spot, we get to the stop, we get to the tenant, we get the improvements there. That's basically it for phase one.
Right.
Each phase, the plan has, as there's new development, so for example, if there's a pad site, that pad site's got to comply with all the standards for architectural design, efficiency, landscaping around that pad site, potentially upgrades to stormwater management, depending on how much of it, how big it is, and more landscaping. That is going to be all subject to a future site plan when we get to that point.
Correct.
Okay.
They set up the parameters for it. There's no triggers just yet.
I see.
But when you see for each phase, they would have to meet the standards as it goes forward, so.
Right. We thought that was the right balance between, you know, trying to have a developer do more than they could reasonably afford and yet make sure that the city over time gets protected as the center gets more occupied and developed.
The landscaping here is tough.
It is very tough.
It's flooded all the time.
Yeah. It is tough. We've all seen that having ties and lows. Anything we can do to encourage more use and to fill in the between the acne and the gym, that sort of dead zone there, or, you know, I think these are all good strategies for that. So I'm excited for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
So this is our workshop. We'll go through and then we'll hit our regular agenda.
Do you need to stay for that? Or?
I don't think so. There's really no public hearing on it tonight. It's just the introduction of the ordinance.
Yeah.
And then at our planning board, you guys will be there, and then
yeah,
on the 14th, we'll be back for full time.
Or and I'll be here about the month, and we'll get a count.
Okay.
Or I'll be back on the 14th. 14th will be back.
All right, good.
You've got to be out of state on Monday.
That's the right date, correct?
Yes.
Good.
All right, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, John. Good seeing you again, Ralph. Thanks,
Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph.
Good.
Anything from the department heads? You guys are here, I'm assuming, for a reason. You have stuff on the agenda.
I'm here for the resolutions that are on the agenda.
We'll hit those as we get to the resolutions. Chief, anything?
Just announced our ladder truck's back in service, back from repair.
Awesome.
Refurbished. And they start, the walls go up for station 2 on the 4th.
I knew it was beginning of November. Good.
Cool.
Good.
Nice.
Excellent. Capital discussion, anything? I don't think we have too much on that tonight.
Yeah. We're going to have a capital meeting.
Yes.
I
had mentioned that. Following items are scheduled for action in our regular portion this evening. The minutes from our August regular meetings, the 8th and the 22nd, as well as our September regular and executive session, September 12th. Those minutes will be adopted tonight. We have the ordinance introduction that we just talked about for the Vendor Plaza redevelopment plan. It's ordinance 2019-019. City of Ventnor. We don't have any public hearings, and my pen is completely broken down. Always have spares. We have not as many resolutions this last month. We did a lot last month. We went through the alphabet, I think, once and a half. So tonight we have resolutions that will adopt by consent from 2019-339 through 350. The first is request for proposals for pooled engineers. As we do our engineering each year, we request RFPs for a pool, and we'll appoint 5 or 6 of those as our engineer for projects and things for that coming year, 2020. Tax abatement is 340, the block 38, lot 9, 106 South Lafayette. So, Maria, you had a question on this resolution 341 with regard to the section 5310 permit.
I didn't have one for the answer. Yeah. I didn't have it being 5310.
Okay, what is it?
It's to apply for a grant for a shuttle bus.
Ah, okay, the one we're getting from them.
And then would be a new one.
Okay, yeah. Cost? Good.
Called 5310.
Okay. I'm going to write that in your shuttle bus. Okay. Next one is an electronic tax sale. Okay.
We do that every year.
Yeah. It's just a tax sale. This is resolution 342. It's to authorize a tax collector to have these. Is there several properties in here?
Well, that's just so they can hold less than
so we
tax
can hold
sale.
That. Understood. Okay. And then, so we have a second one too, authorizing fees for the tax sale. Okay, so they're kind of together. And then we have Winchester Avenue Drainage Improvements, awarded that contract to Charles Marandino LLC, that's resolution 344, in the amount of $391,392. Could have made that 391, 391, right? Wouldn't that have been kind of symmetrical? And Ed, could you just tell us what the extent of that project is? It also works out near where the firehouse too, right? Fire station one?
It includes drainage at Washington and Winchester with the concrete gutter replacement and accessible ramp installations on that block. And it also includes drainage at New Haven and Winchester as well. Same scope of work, the replacement of the drainage, installation or replacement of concrete gutter and installation of accessible ramps. Some work on the concrete sidewalks and driveway in front of the firehouse as well.
Along Winchester?
Along Winchester and also along
Okay. So Chief, you'll have to be integral in that coordination with access to the firehouse.
We will work it out.
I know you will.
We had five bidders and the bids were fairly tight. 391 was the low bidder. 405 was the second.
Okay.
Does this include the ambulance apron?
Yes, it does.
Yes. Good. So the next one is resolution 345, which is emergency repair of Surrey and Calvert Stormwater Station, not to exceed $4,500. This is my favorite piece of equipment in the city of Ventnor. VFDs. We've replaced every one since we've been in office.
VFDs.
They are variable speed.
Variable frequency.
Frequency drives that every.
And you like that?
No. They are. I think every other phone call from Ernie is that one of our VFDs is down.
Oh, gotcha.
And every pump that we have has one of these on it to make sure it doesn't just jerk on, controls its
startup
frequency. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this should be hopefully one of the last one after a place.
We still have that in the station.
But we're going to be proactive. We're going to order one for that. We had an issue, well, this one, when it failed, you know, we were concerned that we had a storm coming. This was for a storm pump, so they're not hugely expensive, but they are, it's $4,500, but it's can be a problem. We had one go down with a sewer pump a while back, and that was problematic, because you have to keep that those pumps running. We were, what Ernie said, 20 minutes from the bypass when that went down, so that was really park, right? So, yeah, this is hopefully one of the few ones we have to continue to replace. Closing out escrow accounts. These are for, this is for David Langsam, 8 North Wyoming Avenue, resolution 346, the amount of $811.50. It's a planning board application.
I believe that.
Yeah, I seem to recall that coming through. Yeah. So they use all the escrow that's going to be funded. 347 is a contract for Cambridge Avenue water blow-off connection at the fishing pier, water service for $4,000. So that's going to be a right now that system tends to get buried every year. Mm-hmm. Have to dig it out again. Sand's a problem in that area. So we're going to put something in that's a little more permanently accessible.
Okay.
That'll tie into our new pier building.
Right. So it's an easier clean-out process.
Exactly. Clean out and turn the water on and off first, more for that.
Yeah.
The sewer lines are, we've redone that already. Right. This is more or less the water, turn the water on and off. 348 is for awarding Cement Works Plus for removing and replacing concrete gutter, curb, and sidewalks. That's at various locations, several locations throughout the city. Amount of $7,498, and that's kind of spots where we need fixes.
That is correct. It would be replace gutter sidewalk where we had to replace fire hydrants to reduce water and sewer services, but it also takes care of a few smaller problem areas that we have.
Good. Resolution 349. Authorizing change order 1 to 8 for the North Street North Streetscape Improvement Project. This is pretty significant. I've had to go through that just a little bit. I'm aware of all these changes. Pretty significant. What was the total? It's
$61,610.
Correct. So pretty significant. A lot of it, a good, almost half of it,
$30,000
is for additional pavers.
I'm looking at it now.
So we're looking at the aspect of keeping that ribbon between the curb and the new sidewalk,
right,
as pavers. We came up with that when they were excavating. We really don't want to see that. Pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do this. We're doing it right. I'm not
sure.
Going to do it,
no,
not half, backwards. A lot of the other stuff was existing conditions they found, including the buried concrete roadway that's there.
That is correct. We had to lower a few of the traffic signal boxes,
yep,
so that our accessible ramps would comply. There's eight separate change orders that have come during the construction process that are provided as backup to this resolution. The first couple were actually deductions in the contract value, changing granite curb to concrete curb, changing exposed aggregate to regular sidewalk, things like that that resulted in decreases. But as Commissioner Langbrand stated, the last couple were larger increases, so we wanted to get them before the government body. The last one was a $34,000 increase. That was completing the paper ribbon design the curb on the side that they're constructing now. The one before that was about a $24,000 change order, and that comes about mainly because of resetting the one boardwalk area that had been constructed that was too steep on the slope,
right,
for tables to comfortably sit on that area. So
like a 7%. Cross breaks.
Over 7% cross slope, which was just really a factor of the cross slope of the Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. We pointed that out
one
day.
So the fix is, and we fixed it on the future ones already?
Not matchbooks?
Yeah. No, we didn't. Not matchbooks. So essentially, we lowered the street end. Instead of, we talked about lowering the sidewalk side.
Oh, okay.
We actually kept that where it was,
right,
lowered the street side. There's actually a little curb there now. So that it'll sit down a little bit lower, or it'll sit on a little shelf.
It was obvious.
Yeah, it was problematic. And then talking to Ed, about 3 weeks ago, he told me what the issue was. It was a severe cross slope on the street. And I figured out why. Again, going back to my history in the city, we paved that street, probably the last time it was paved, in the 90s.
Right.
We didn't mill the whole thing. We milled the edges. You just mill down 2 inches. What did you call that?
Profile
mill. So you mill 2 inches on the outside to zero towards the crown of the road.
Right.
And you just cap the whole thing. So the center line got taken off.
Right.
And created more of a slope.
Good for drainage, I guess, but not for
staying on the curbside cafe. So anyway.
I mean, nobody likes to have those kind of overages, but in the scheme of $1 million project.
Yeah. You're going to run into these things. That's not.
I see some of them are because of the things like that, they have to make deeper saw cuts,
yep,
which is a cost.
Down to additional road.
Different piece of equipment that does that at a more expensive rate. So it's not, I think it's part of something that we all had said, this is a great project for the city. I think it's something that we have to do right. Some of these upcharges are going to happen.
Agreed.
That's looking really good. Any idea what I talked to the guys one day when I asked them to sort of straighten up at the end of the work week, and they said that they're at least a month away from wrapping up.
Yeah, I would say that they want to finish up in November,
yes,
late November.
Right.
There's a little bit of a setback we're going to have with what happened at Tomasello's. They had some soil remediation they had to take care of, and they have more to do. That's Little Rock Avenue, right? They have more to do in that right of way.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do that, they have to dig that whole intersection up. So we don't want to, we're going to have them come in and pave some things before we painted our crosswalks.
Right.
So we're going to hold off on the crosswalk repainting until all that's done, which will be this winter.
Right.
And we'll come back in and we'll paint our crosswalks in the spring. So That'll be the last thing, and we'll see that as a change order probably month or next month.
Most likely, probably at the end of the job. What I suspect would be one final work change order. I don't think, we don't anticipate any other increases at this moment.
But that would be the decrease.
That would be the decrease. We take that line striping. We're in discussions with the NJEDA right now, the funding agency, on the best way to proceed. We can remove the line striping and the paving marking altogether from the Ocean contract, move it out, but just to close out Ocean's contract, and then the city enter into a contract with the line striper to do it in the spring after Tomasello's does his final paving restoration, which would incorporate that whole intersection of Little Rock and Atlantic. That's one scenario. Another scenario is have Ocean do all the traffic markings and traffic paint except for Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And then all we have to do in the spring is just do Little Rock. I mean, we just have to see how it is.
It'll be out one way or the other. Right. So it's a good workaround to work with a business in our town that has to do this work. Mm-hmm. And it'll look nice when it's done. You know, if you've been by there lately, the lights are up and they're on. Looks kind of nice. It's starting to come along pretty well.
Yeah.
Landscaping will go in before the end of the project.
The trees, but maybe not the shrubs, I think they said.
We'll have to see. Depending on what.
So it sounds like a spring grant, like ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
That's the name. Let's shoot for that.
Yeah, shoot for that. Last resolution 350 is transfer of title possession of a county transportation vehicle to the city of Ventnor. Ed, this is also yours.
Kind of. Sure. That is the it's an agreement where the county will sell us the senior shuttle bus number 4212. It's the one we've been using, haven't been using it for the last month. We've been doing some repairs on it, but that will transfer title to the city of Ventnor.
Okay, and then
we actually have it already, right?
We don't have it in our possession right now. The county has it doing some repairs. Mm-hmm. So the one we're driving now is a different one.
Okay, Lynn Kaplan left me a message on my phone asking that we still need mileage and number of stops recorded doing that for the county. So I don't want that.
Yeah, well, it would be nice to know.
Probably would be good.
To keep track of, I would say yes.
At least the number of
stops. Yeah. I would say yes.
Especially for that grant that Hotel might be working on.
Yeah.
Document that. I would like
sure.
To do that, yeah. So we're going to take that vehicle. We run the program now. We'll just use their bus, their shuttle. We're going to take over that as well. And we had it inspected and found some issues, and that's why they're repairing those issues now. Brakes and some other things.
We're
going to do all that. Then we'll get into our bills and payroll. Discussion items, do we have any? Two discussion items, okay. We have Burke Avenue, and that is the subdivision, correct? Or the request from him? Yeah. So this came to us once before. The gentleman out there on Burke Avenue next to Ski Beach, or in front of Ski Beach, on the left-hand side facing the water, and come to us and ask us to purchase 20 feet of that lot where the pump station is on the third Craft Yacht Club. And we said no. Because at the time, he wanted to buy it and subdivide it with two houses there. He came to the planning board for a variance for undersized lots and was denied. Neighbors out there had some concerns. The planning board took that into consideration and denied him the subdivision. Now the gentleman has come back and is looking to purchase that same 20 feet, but only build one house there. So he's got 102 feet of linear frontage on Burke Avenue. He wants another 20 feet to make it 122. Accepting in the letter from his attorney, Eric Goldstein, accepting a deed restriction that he would not subdivide that land and put two houses there. Because then he would comply with the ability to put two lots there.
Right.
So I had some concerns from day one on adding, another lot out there was my first concern when he wanted to subdivide it. It's a pump station. It's a sanitary sewer pump station. which has odors tied to it. It does. They, Maria can attest to that. It's really vital. It's got noise associated with it sometimes, so it's just not something that we want to encourage people to live closer to.
Right.
It's in a good location now. There's no home right here. I don't understand why the gentleman needs 122 feet of lot frontage for one house. It's a very large lot. I am not of the opinion to agree to sell this thing.
It's within the lot sizes for a single. It's a large size for a single family.
It's already big enough for a single family, but it well exceeds that. It does. Yeah, I mean, in the most recent event we had there, we used that space for
it was the staging area for temporary bathroom.
Right. So I don't know that I'm of the opinion to sell. You know, we're always looking to bring more dollars in, but at what cost at this point? I mean, it's not that big of an area, so it wouldn't be that big of a sale price. We'd have to appraise and see what it would be worth. But, my thoughts are that I don't know that this is needed to be sold to a private entity. I think it creates a buffer by just being there. That space creates its own
right
to the pump station.
Isn't there a matching lot of the same type on the other sides of the beach? Is that symmetrical?
But there's no pump station on that. It is.
Right.
So there's no pump station.
You're making it asymmetrical in a way.
Yeah. Not, yes. I mean, especially if you put a fence up, it would definitely most likely
buffer. But we just received a grant for...
Right. That's the other reason. I wouldn't want to give up any land. I just got almost $300,000 for a grant for Steve. We just blew that whole surprise, didn't it?
So that was my, that's why I'm able to bring it up, is that I feel like we just received a $270,000 grant, a low interest loan for $90,000. We have other money earmarked for it. Do we want to, you know, close off our, before we resign this?
Right. I'm with it. So we will...
What's that possibly impact the grant?
Yeah.
Right.
So we, if you can draft a letter back to Mr. Goldstein, and let them know that we're not interested in pursuing that. I mean, we have to take it to a vote. I mean, the discussion is at least two.
Do they need to vote?
No, you don't need to vote. I can tell them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. I'll tell them.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, it just doesn't, I don't see where it pans out for us. Pencils out for us.
You have complete discretion whether you want to sell it or not.
Right. Especially, I mean, I'd like to see that grant part of it at least be used in some kind of sketch format to see what that, to see a professional really design what that.
Oh, that's what part of that money is going to be used for.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see a charrette happen that really shows what that area could be, you know, a design phase on that. But,
before you
end up selling it. Yeah, of course. Well, before we, you know, it's an opportunity to bring the primary uses back and to improve it aesthetically.
And I think we do that. Let's talk about that after when we talk about that grant we just got.
Yeah.
The next item is parking permits. And I think what we're talking about here, and this will, if you agree, we can put this on the agenda tonight. It's kind of timely.
Yeah.
We've been talking about, and Commissioner Kriegel went and spoke to the North Beach group, which was very well attended, I hope. I understand, right?
Yeah.
Good discussion with everybody. That was great.
Yes.
About our parking permits in that area of the community. And what we came down to is I think we're going to hire a traffic consultant to come in and do a study of that area of the community, you know, maybe even some more areas, maybe the whole island portion, where we have our parking issues throughout various seasons.
Yeah.
And have him make a recommendation on what we should do. So didn't want to just stop doing the permits without doing that.
Right.
So, and then Jimmy came to me, Jimmy Agostino, and said, look, I'm about ready to pass these, to reprint the next 2 years of parking permits. So the parking study, the real one's going to take 9 months.
Right.
Because we want to hit the seasons here.
Right.
So if we can get that authorized this spring, they can do it through, they start this spring, do it through the summer, right, and next fall, and then we can have a suggestion on what we do, some ideas from a consultant that does that for a living. Tell us what to do to make it better. All we're talking about tonight is changing it from a 2-year permit to a 1-year permit.
So it sets us up to make changes in a timely manner. I think it also gives us the ability to analyze it with empirical data after the theater is open.
Correct.
So we're taking our assumptions and what we think can happen, and we're also not parking and traffic study professionals. I'd like to see what they have to say and look at the city with there's other areas of the city that could be impacted that could be more efficiently used.
I would open this up to the entire city.
Yeah. I think it's money well spent, because it is literally one of the biggest problems that when we do our polls, that's what people are concerned about.
Yep.
So it's money well spent.
So what this would be is would be an ordinance that we've introduced tonight. It would be ordinance number 2019-020, and it's the same ordinance we have now. It's amending chapter 2017, vehicles parking, of section 217.9.1 fees. And in that section, we would add A, parking permit fees shall be $2 for each permit, which commence on January 1, 2020 and expire December 31st, 2020. Right. That would normally be a two-year period. So we're keeping the $2 fee.
Right.
It's for permit, but it's only going to be for 1 year.
Doubling the cost. So we're going to hear from that.
We will. But I think this gives us the time, as you said, to get the data in. Yeah. And Tim used two really big words tonight. Did you hear? Charrette and empirical data.
I see. He's over there Googling.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
The source.
Pull the Larry Angel one. These guys don't know who that is.
I get it.
Yeah. So Larry used to use words that really weren't words. In Mullica Township. And Tim was their solicitor, and he called them on a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of funny. Larry since passed on, so he's... So that would be introduced tonight, and then adopted. The second reading would be... So we will add that. If you're good with that, we'll add that. We didn't really put on here discussion about the Ski Beach grant we just talked about. So we applied through our grant coordinator, Jim Rotella, for a grant for Ski Beach. And we received that grant to the tune of $290,000+ as a grant, and then an additional $90,000 as a low interest loan, right? I get those numbers set back.
And they're
okay. So what that's going to entail is improvements to Ski Beach. One of the things I think Commissioner Kriegel agrees with this is the boat ramp.
Yeah.
It needs to become a real boat ramp with a dock, floating dock beside it, similar to what Brigantine has, Ed, if you're very familiar with that. It's something that works a little better than what we have now.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, one of our biggest assets is our location near the water. People don't use that ramp because it is problematic.
It doesn't go far enough out to the waterway. So
it kind of gives, it's kind of like one of those things that is gives you more reason to move to that
ramp. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I think what I would like to do is actually set up, public meetings on what we want to do with that site, get some input, similar to what we did with the streetscape.
Yeah.
And get some input there and, put it out to RFP and get some good designers in there to help us with that.
Yeah.
The grant you had with Devo in there, the dock, temporary
mooring,
looking at just some of the big numbers.
Floating dock.
Temporary sheeting, empty watering.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things we found out in the after action of the
better way
was
the
trip hazards. Maybe there's a way to increase the parking, make it less of a trip hazard when big events happen out there. Those
wheel stops
are
wheel stops. I think we use upper bollards at least the parking areas instead of wheel stops, and that becomes a little better. Mm-hmm. And actually help control traffic or control pedestrian traffic when we do have events.
Right.
The physical layout seems to work. Worked out great. Worked out really well. So that's something we'll be working on in the next few months.
That's great.
So that's really good news.
And the beautification committee is interested.
Yes, we will meet with Shelley and go through that.
Funding, you know, what's agreed with the committee.
Yep, so we have additional chunk of money to do that, which will be nice.
Yeah, she made a point to say that these are the things that people volunteer for and they donate for, and she wants to see that that's giving back to the city somehow.
Yep.
You know, for the Chef's Night Out, you know, that's where all this money goes to, back into the city.
It would be nice. It's a good chunk of change she has for us, too, so it's nice. So that's it for discussion. We'll have our first public portion on any items that have been discussed so far. Anyone wants to speak, please step forward, state your name, and comment on items that are on, that we've already discussed in our workshop. Motion to open the public.
Motion open the public.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's open to the public. Anybody please come up? Nothing. Chief, Ed, Annette. Okay.
Bueller.
I think that's always fun. That's funny no matter how many times I do it. It's funny.
Sorry.
Motion to close public portion.
Motion to close public portion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Close. Okay, so now we will close the workshop portion of our meeting, and we'll go into our regular session. We have to do a motion to close the workshop.
Just a motion to close and open the regular session.
Motion to close.
Motion to close and open the workshop.
Second. All in
and
favor?
Open the regular session.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, I'll call to order the regular session of our Ventnor City Commission meeting, and first item on the agenda will be our approval of minutes. We have a motion to approve the minutes from August 8th, 22nd, 2019, and September 12th, 2019.
Sorry. Motion to approve the minutes August 8th, 2019, August 22nd, 2019, September 12th, 2019, and September 12th, 2019,
exactly. Okay, second. Roll call.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
Yes. Okay. Ordinance introduction, we'll have two of those, as we said. The first, I have motion to introduce Ordinance 2019-019, Ordinance of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, adopting the Ventnor Plaza Redevelopment Plan.
Motion to introduce Ordinance 2019-019 as amended.
Thank you. Yep. Second. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
Yes. And the second one will be motion to introduce ordinance number 2019-020, the ordinance of the City of Ventnor, County of Atlantic, State of New Jersey, amending Chapter 217, Vehicles, Parking of Section 217, 9.1 Fees. Motion, please. To introduce.
Motion to introduce ordinance as described.
There we go. Got a second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
Yes. All right. We have no public hearings and ordinances. We have no ordinance adoption. We'll go through the resolutions by consent. A motion to adopt resolutions 2019-339 through 2019-350 by consent.
Motion to adopt resolutions 02019-339 through 2019-350 by consent.
A second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
Yes. We have approval of bills and payroll. Al, could you go through those, please?
Yes. The bill list, it's for this period is $6,064,073.58. And for the payroll, it was $519,562.61.
Motion to approve bills and payroll as stated. Second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kriebel?
Yes.
Commissioner Langraff?
Yes. Announcement, safety report. Do you have anything on that, Tim? I know it's on the agenda there, so.
No, we just have it read into the. Okay. Have it entered into the record.
Okay.
As written.
Commissioner's comments, you have anything?
Well, there was a Facebook post made about it already. The fire department had a, wanted to thank Robin Towing, Anthony Miranda for donating vehicles and wrecked vehicles for our firefighters to train on. We went out to watch that. It's actually another example of really utilizing things on, utilizing training while we're on staff and while firefighters are, and we're also sharing that training, not just with other communities, trying out JAWS light pools that we are potentially can buy, showing new firefighters how to raise and to support vehicles that maybe flip, so that when they're on scene and they're not doing it for the, you know, they're doing it for the fifth or sixth time, not right. Just the first time. So it really is kind of free for the vehicles, using airbags and lifting equipment. Also more coordination with other fire departments. We're utilizing Station 1 for staging demolition practices in the attic. So other Margate and Longport are donating equipment so that it doesn't get damaged, older equipment, so that they can use air packs and while they're training, all the departments are training there. It saves us time because they're doing it instead of going out to the canal to training, and they're doing they're sort of training the trainers as well. So okay. Some good efficiencies happen.
Good.
You got some good pictures of
it. Yeah. Yeah. I saw something on Facebook correcting it tonight.
Yeah. Yep.
That they're ripping apart the cars.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the bigger, the easiest tools we have nowadays is these battery powered Sawzalls.
Yeah,
and when they first started coming out, Home Depot did a presentation out in their parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you could take chances on how long you thought it was going to take them to cut a car in half.
Right.
Everybody said 4, 5, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
They literally cut a car crossways, which didn't have an accident.
Right.
It was a front-wheel drive car. It literally cut the car down in half, fully in half, right, in less than 2 minutes. Crazy.
So there is a brand that they're using now that's cordless, and then we're changing over to that because they also give lifetime batteries.
Right.
Market, so we will never have to buy batteries for good as we go forward. So it was a good example of kind of expanding our reach there.
Okay. Good. We already gave kind of an update on the streetscape. We're going to have a lot of construction going on in the city, as surrounding cities are doing at this time of year. Newport Avenue drainage project is underway. Driven Monmouth Avenue in the mornings, you see that's there's a detour there. So that's happening. You're going to see this next project start up pretty soon. We approved tonight for Winchester Avenue. Won't really close the road there because it's work on the gutters. There may be some closures happening on and off. A couple more things. Kingsley is still underway. We're working on that now. Can't think of anything else.
On a dune.
Yes. Yeah. So before I get to that, we'll do the fun stuff first. Trunk or Treat. Phenomenal.
Oh, yes. Amazing.
You guys did a great job of that. I know I just walked through. I thought it was later in the hall.
She pulled that off.
Yeah. Great job by Patty. And each department, I think, had somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Snake in Public Works. I saw, Code had a booth there. They had a big spider that jumped out of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. Lisa, you guys did a great job. You and Ray.
I'm as a public works worker, which was
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that a costume, Snake? But anyway, it was fun. It was really cool to walk around there. Boomer had a good time. One group actually had, and I think it was Snake, they had dog treats.
Right.
So they gave out, Boomer got a little.
Great location. It's funny how you can spend a lot of time and energy figuring out complicated things like block parties and that kind of stuff and other events that we had. And this was a very simple, people brought their own candy.
Yeah.
And 1,000 people had a great time.
Yeah, it was the line along the back. The only thing I might suggest is do the line along the front of it next year.
Right.
So people can see where the line starts.
Right.
Because I saw some of what was happening, people were walking in from Atlantic Avenue just started.
Just started, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So maybe move that line along the line
front so people can see where to line up.
But it was really well done.
Probably Ferry, mm-hmm. Some other businesses.
Yeah, Hank was there. Hank was there. Hank Robillard.
Yeah, yeah.
His boys really jumped in. Yeah. His boys loved it. They had a blast.
The town company that
they had the car. Yeah. Anthony was there. Yeah. It was really weather. It couldn't have been any better.
Marketplace there, okay.
Yeah, Marketplace. Yeah.
So a lot of different people there. It was a lot of fun. Everybody dressed up their cars. Yeah, that was. I think people went and got more candy.
And there's more delicious.
Yeah, the fire plant did those. Yeah.
Yeah, they gave out big candy, but the rest of them.
They had over 400 candy bars.
Wow.
Full size, and
every one
of them.
Yeah, do we have a number of how many kids went through?
No, but it had to be over 400.
Wow, that's great. Good stuff. On to the dunes. So we took some significant damage to our dune system from basically the library, same area. New Haven Avenue down, went probably 7 or 8 blocks.
Yeah.
So if you go down there, you'll see them were taped off. The answer is not. We reached out to the DEP and the Army Corps. Ed's spoken to the DEP's chief engineer, Bill Dixon. There's some things we can do. The smaller ones we can fix ourselves. We are not allowed to, pull sand from other places and regrade towards the ocean. Mm-hmm. They won't let us do that. So we have to keep those areas just blocked off for now. We are looking at some options that might entail taking those walkovers and pulling them back and actually creating a walkway down that's shorter,
right?
Because the beach is shorter now.
Yeah.
There's also some talk with that area, even in this past summer, high tides pushed that beach area to about 20 feet. Mm-hmm. Full moon high tide at the beach, so we were there.
Right.
People would be on top of themselves up by the dunes. So some of the areas further south where they have the back beach, I'm thinking about actually cleaning that up a little bit, creating a space and access for people to use that, if need be. That's something we're going to maybe talk to the residents about, visitors, and see if it's something that they would actually use. Not going to be able to see the water from back there.
Right.
So people use it now for volleyball and different things, but we've looked at making that like it used to be. It used to be the beach.
Yeah.
If you remember, before Sandy, you could walk underneath that dune and you had a beach.
There, people were using it for shade.
Yeah. You would sit back there and that's where you moved when the tide came up.
Right.
After Sandy and that filled in, you didn't have that option. So that's something we've contemplated. Cape May County was the first county to apply to the state to get a storm designated as a state of emergency to get funding. Mm. They were denied. Mm. We're going to follow suit and do the same thing just so we're on the same page, but that probably will not move too far, but it will help us with other applications for funding, including to the Army Corps and to the DEP. So Ed has been working on it. He's been on the phone talking with those guys to see what we can do. Right for now, we'll stay off those areas.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
It is.
Not just us.
Go up the north side of Atlantic City. Right. Northeast corner there, up by Revel, Ocean Resort. Yeah. You can see the geotube. Yeah. So we don't have that in our dunes.
Right.
But Atlantic City's dune was created with a geotube, which is just a huge rubberized bladder that they buried in there and pumped the sand into it.
Right.
And that is exposed right now.
Right.
At least it was right after the storm, so.
I didn't know what it was, but I've seen it, yeah.
It's a huge bladder that they fill it with sand and water. The water seeps out of it, and the sand damage stays there, so.
I should tell you that yesterday, we had a meeting with DEP, the Barry DEP, they're the consultant on the resiliency grant that Metro is the lead on.
Yes.
And Margate, I think Northfield, Pleasantville, Atlantic City, Longport. And so Ventnor and Margate and Longport were at the meeting and they're going to fill in the other town. So they kind of went through the process with us. And basically, they're looking for this grant to fund a plan for, to make this area more resilient, but also to take into consideration social service type needs, people at risk, people at need, not necessarily just like infrastructure change.
Okay.
But communication, how to communicate better with people. Maybe they don't understand English, or maybe we have handicapped, or maybe we have elderly.
You know, that was an issue with Sandy. That makes sure they can communicate with you, the issues they have, and get it evacuated.
And like a plan that envelops all the municipalities that are part of this, but it might have different components in it. That one, you know, one aspect might benefit, let's say, Downbeach more than benefits Pleasantville or Northville, but then there's other components in there that might benefit the mainland better than it benefits here.
Right.
And looking out, how can we still be here 50 years from now? That was not something you're going to see like sticks and bricks 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. It's long-term thinking, planning, and then they bring in the consultants maybe to take that a step further.
Right.
It's not like a grant to build something, but it's a grant to think about it now, maybe someone works garage, maybe something like that, or more programmatic like plan. So we're going to bring more people to the table. We're going to have like the public safety at the table and other stakeholders in the municipality. And Roger is the lead on this for the city and for Denver and Logan.
Right. Yep. And Charette.
It's a meeting in which stakeholders and project owners attempt to resolve conflicts and match solutions.
Wow! Did you get that, Minette?
No.
All right. Anything else? No executive session. We have to do a public comment.
Public comment. Comment.
Yeah. Motion to open the public.
Motion to open the public.
Second. All in favor? Aye. So we'll open up for any discussion this evening to on any topic that you feel like talking about. Seeing none, motion to close, please.
Motion to close public comment.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Public closed. With that, I don't think we have anything else. Our next meeting is November 14th. We do not have a second meeting this month.
Is it? Second.
This was our second meeting. That's right.
We only have one meeting in
November. One meeting in November, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Trying to rush through that.
Yeah.
And we only have one in December as well.
If you wish.
Yeah. Because it gets into the holidays.
December 26th would be our second meeting.
I will be. No. all right. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
6:40.
Everyone.